White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 583.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins!
Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown,
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with AwardEagleReader.com and by people like you, the very patient Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our very patient and loving and supportive Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico. I'm back from the dead again. I live. I labeled this show as COVID-free edition ... mostly, and I'm joined as always by my co-host, who is COVID-free.
I'm John Ringer.
Lucky devil that you are. Be around me the whole weekend and never get it. I don't know how you pulled that off, but it worked out, and I sure am glad, because this has been a hellacious 2 weeks, John.
I am glad as well, and I am also very glad that you are starting to feel better.
Yeah, today has been the first day I can really report much progress, other than the day I went from 103.5 fever to less than 103.5. It's been pretty much the most dead even 2 weeks I've ever experienced. It's just been like, it's going, you're going to get pneumonia. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not. Come on. Yeah, you are. No. Yeah, you are. No, stop. And it's been that way every day, or at least bronchitis, you know. But apparently, knock on wood, I'm still kind of doing that a little bit. Sorry. I'll mute myself. That was for illustrative purposes, as far as you know. But other than that, I'm going to go back to work tomorrow, put my 1 day month of work in pretty much. And then Thanksgiving. So I get a little time to continue getting better. So hopefully I won't get so sick from going into work tomorrow that I miss all of Thanksgiving. That would suck. So how are you?
I'm angry.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine
I'm so angry.
Well, that's what we're here for. Talk it out.
You know, Van, like you're opening the show, we coughed up a football game this weekend, and I am not happy about
it. No, we did. That is true enough. That is true. We had COVID of the football. That sounds weird, but it's true. So we can work our way through that. I guess the first thing we want to do tonight, and I just want to thank everybody for your patience. I appreciate John doing a whole show by himself last week. That was beyond the call of duty, and I appreciate it. I was glad that we had our little conversation about North Carolina State that we were able to post. I was able to kind of shamble down here and pop that in.
You mean Rutgers?
Yeah, Rutgers is the big winner, quote-unquote winner in that whole thing. So I don't know who this Rutgers is you speak of, the Rutgers Fighting Tony Sopranos. I don't even know what they are. Don't tell me, because it would be, you'd be making something up, and that's not good. But yeah, we are back, and we'll hopefully continue. In fact, you and I are going to do a review of Foundation coming up soon too. So hopefully we'll continue to be able to hook up and do these things. So we got to look at the South Carolina game, whether we like it or not. And I think it's pretty much not. And then look ahead a little bit to Alabama, which, oh, here comes the COVID again, John. Oh, no. Thinking about that game. So what do you, oh, gosh. Now, see, this is where doing it on Monday night always helps. We have a little bit of distance, a little bit of time to kind of calm down. Honestly, I wasn't remotely that upset. I burned through all my anger and disappointment at Texas A&M. The Mississippi State thing, I kind of went, huh, and turned it off. And then with this, I kind of went, huh, and turned it off. I mean, look, we had certain goals for this season. And the second I knew they were no longer really possible, I'm not saying I don't care. I'm just saying, what's the difference between 8-5 and 7-6? It's just, what's the difference? If it's a crap season, it's a crap season. And if we're disappointed because of A and B, then you throw a C on there, and I'm not any more disappointed, honestly. I'm just kind of like, yep, Yep. So the only thing that the South Carolina game really did for me was take away my hope that somehow we could cobble together a contender for this Saturday. And when I saw that that was not going to happen, I'm just like, well, okay, there's that.
Yeah, I thought a lot about how I really missed us having a cupcake game the week before.
Exactly, yes.
Where we could play some really terrible team and kind of tune up and feel better about ourselves.
Get a win.
Like, I see you, SEC office. Like, I'm not happy with this new schedule arrangement.
No.
I'd much rather be playing, have played Akron or Alabama State on Saturday night.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. That's just... Yeah, I mean, we saw this coming a long time ago. There's even an SEC Shorts comedy video where the little dude that does all the characters on there, he's an Auburn guy, and they give him the schedule. He's like, hey, SEC, you know, I'm here to get rid of Georgia as our game before Alabama. And they're like, yeah, sure, here you go. Here's your new schedule. And he's like, wait, what? Yeah, you got LSU or whatever, which was supposed to be, you know, and they changed it around. And he's like, wait, no, this isn't better. What is this? This isn't the big improvement we were looking for. And it ended up being, you know, pretty so. But you would think South Carolina, though, other than Vanderbilt. Yeah.
Again, this is the other part. I watched South Carolina a little bit this year. They're not good.
No.
So I really, really was counting on beating them. I really, really counted on beating them. And I'm frustrated because – we lost Mississippi State game when their players got hot and did good things, and we lost this game when we did bad things.
Yeah, if you look at that game, if you look at the statistics, you look everything about it, there's no way you can figure that we lost the game. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make any sense. John, we had never lost to South Carolina in the SEC. It was like the one last remaining streak in the SEC was that we had not lost to South Carolina ever in the last 30 years that they've been in the SEC. And now, guess what? We are on a two-game losing streak to South Carolina. This feels worse than when we got on the losing streak to Georgia Tech. Same thing, right? We were beating the crap out of Georgia Tech for 30 years, and then all of a sudden we lose back-to-back games to Tech. Well, now we've lost back-to-back games and by the way, that's another thing. I'm not thrilled having to play them in Columbia back-to-back either. That doesn't seem right. It's one of those weird things.
Nope.
But I look at that game and I still can't figure out how we lost. It's one of those games where just everything had to go their way and against us, and it did. It's like if we flip a coin five times. And for them to win, it had to come up heads at least four times, and it came up heads five times.
That's right.
It's just crazy. So I'm sure you want to talk about certain plays, but I do want to just really quickly, as we tend to do, talk about how it played out. We had a 14-point lead in the first quarter. We scored three more points the rest of the game. Now, we held them to 21 points, but, of course, that was enough. Finley was 17 out of 32 for 188 yards. Didn't turn the ball over. Threw a touchdown. Didn't throw an interception. We didn't fumble the ball away, I don't think, other than that weird thing at the end of the punt.
We put it on the ground a couple times, but we recovered it. So
yeah, Tank was 22 carries, 164 yards, which averaged 7.5 yards a carry. Plus, he, I believe, caught the ball. And then Hunter rushed four times for 18 yards. I'm not quite sure why we don't use him more, but okay. We didn't give a carry at all to Shivers this time, which I don't know. But then the receivers, I mean, the tight ends didn't do a whole lot of catching, but the receivers all got at least one. Shedrick Jackson Turner, the closing the American Frontier, 7 catches for 111 yards. And he had a couple of big ones in there. Javarius Johnson, 3 catches for 27. Tank had a 24-yard catch. That's awesome. So, and Shivers even had a 10-yard catch. So, you look at these numbers and you think, we did about as well as you'd think. I mean, how did we lose?
Exactly. I mean, if you just show someone the box score, they would all say Auburn won. We outgained them. We held them to 300 yards. We ran the ball better than them. Yeah, we had more first downs. We had, better average yards per play. So it wasn't a thing where one team ran a whole bunch more plays than the other to get the yardage thing. we did, like you said, we didn't turn the ball over and we lost.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Usually there's, usually when all the other numbers are stacked up this way, there's some countervailing statistic that explains it. Like, oh, but you fumbled five times, you know, something like that. No, there were two plays where we basically either shot ourselves in the foot or the referee did, and they were effectively fumbles. The fourth down play, we might as well have just fumbled the ball there. It would have accomplished the same thing. And then when the ball allegedly hit our player in the back of the leg at the end, that might as well have been us catching the ball and fumbling it. So again, see, it's hidden. We didn't turn the ball over, but yet there were plays that had the exact same effect as if we had fumbled the ball away or thrown an interception, which is crazy. Multiple plays that might as well have just been a fumble. And then, of course, we fumbled and got it back down like inside the red zone too.
Right. Again, and that was a huge thing too. We fumbled and got it back, but we lost yardage, and that was second down. And then it was like third and goal from the 9, and we threw an incomplete pass and then missed a field goal. So that fumble down there was huge too. We didn't lose the ball, but we ended up a red zone chance where we got no points for it.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. There are hidden statistics in this game that had the effect of blatant turnovers. They just don't show up in the box score like a pure fumble would or an interception. In fact, an interception might have been better because at least that's like a punt. Whereas, you know, you're putting the ball down the field, whereas this was giving them the ball right there where the incident happened. You know, so, yeah.
And that's why I want to talk about this fourth down play.
Let's do it.
Because the effect of the play, the end result of the play, was they got the ball at like the 23-yard line. Ugh. So they scored 3 touchdowns. 2 of them they had decent drives, you know, about 65 yards, and one of them we handed them the ball on the platter at, you know, almost in the red zone.
Did you notice the announcer on the TV broadcast was like, I guess it was the Baylor quarterback guy.
Yeah, RG3.
Yeah, he at the time when we did it, he's like, oh yeah, I love this. I love going for it here. This is great. And then later on, they're talking about what happened in the game. He's like, yeah, they really messed up there with going for that first down.
But I'm going to be clear. Going for it, good decision.
Yeah, wasn't the problem.
I'm okay with. Play call on the go for it, bad decision.
Yes.
Okay, terrible decision.
But so Bobo. It's like the most Bobo thing I've ever seen. Well, except for the fade against Penn State.
There's a reason that things become a meme, right?
Yeah.
And it's because they're funny, but they're true.
Mm-hmm.
And the run the damn ball Bobo thing is a meme because it is true. Mm-hmm. Because everywhere he's ever coached, people wanted him to run the ball more. And I get it now. Like, I was yelling, run the damn ball, Bobo, at Penn State, and we did, and we did not in this game. Tank Bigsby averaged 7.5 yards a carry, okay? And as they pointed out many times, our starting quarterback now is gigantic, and it was 4th and 1, okay?
One of them can get it.
Yes, 100%. And so this is the play that we came up with. First of all, they lined up in the I formation – but Shivers was at fullback and Hunter at tailback, okay? Do you think the other team thought we were going to run the ball with Sean Shivers at tailback on 4th and 1? I don't think they did. I don't think they thought we were going to run the ball then. Because when we line up in the out formation to run the ball, Shinker's at fullback. And so they faked the pitch to Hunter like it was a toss sweep, but only a couple of guys went over there. And Robertson was well covered. And instead of seeing that he was covered and knowing it was 4th and 1, you know, the quarterback threw him the ball despite him being like double covered, and we lost it. I think, and this is the other thing, I went back and watched it again, you know, when I rewatched the game, every receiver on that pass play was at least 15 yards downfield. Nobody was the safe route. It was a home run or nothing on that play, which is, again, I get it on the go for it thing, being aggressive, but you have to have it's 4th and 1. We cannot give them the ball here.
Yeah.
Their offense sucks. They're playing their third-string quarterback. We've been rolling up and down the field on them. Their team isn't confident. Their fans aren't confident. And instead, we call a low-percentage play and serve it up to them on a platter, and they go down and score a touchdown, and their fans are going crazy, and then they get the ball back after halftime. So it was an absolutely moronic decision, that play call. I'm so much angrier about that call than I am anything that happened in the Mississippi State game or the Texas A&M game, honestly. I'm angrier about that than anything that happened either one of those, because it was so purposefully intended to be that way. And it makes me angry.
It really was. It's a bad decision in a bad place on the field with bad options and bad structure. Just there was nothing about it that the only thing that could have salvaged it is if Finley had just pulled the ball down and taken off running by himself, which is probably not remotely an option on the play. Then he probably would have gotten fussed at by Bobo for not throwing the ball.
That's what I'm saying. He should have done that, and he would have gotten a first down. But you're right. That would not have been – that was not what he was being told to do.
No.
And, again, there was not another receiver in a short route that he could dump the ball to once it was clear that Robertson was covered. Robertson was the plan all along. So that play just made me so angry. Like, run the ball, get the first down – push them around and take control of the game. And that one, I'm going to be angry about that play 5 years from now, and to be honest. I was so angry in the moment, and I'm still angry about it now. I was really angry about all that yesterday. I was at the yard raking leaves, and I was angry about it. And I'm going to be honest. I'm much more angry about that play than I was the vague call against Penn State, and that was bad too. So
that was bad too. No doubt about that.
But what do they have in common? Again, like we were talking about with the Bobo thing, we threw the ball when we should have run the ball. When running the ball was the obvious thing to have a better chance of success, we threw it.
Well, even then, if we had rung up a couple more touchdowns on offense, it wouldn't have mattered. But our offense decided not to do anything after halftime either. We just sort of folded up. We got the one field goal, and we got down there even closer to miss the field goal. I mean, I knew that it wouldn't have mattered much because we didn't get the ball back at the end the way it played out anyway to try to go down and you know, make it 23-21 or something, make a third field goal. But I kept thinking Bo Nix being out of this game is going to hurt us, and I thought there's a chance that the kicker situation is going to hurt us. And I think it did because we were not able to kick the ball at the back of the end zone. We gave them some returns, and we missed a chip shot field goal.
Yeah, yeah.
It made a difference.
Right. And again, if you want to be super aggressive and go for a 4th-and-20, maybe let's not put the game in the hands of the walk-on kicker either. It put too much pressure on him. So.
Yeah.
But no, we're seeing a pattern here. Fourth game in a row, right? Ole Miss, too, where in the second half the offense is worthless.
That's right.
It's nothing. It's like they have all these great things and great energy and stuff in the beginning of the game, and then it just evaporates.
But like, we've seen this movie before, though, because it used to happen with Gus a lot, against Georgia particularly.
But I think the Gus thing was more about adjustments right after halftime. Sometimes in the fourth quarter, he would actually get the offense going again, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He had his third quarter lull. Yeah. This is the whole second half going down the tubes.
Yeah.
So I it's like the other team adjust after our initial success, and then we never can get it back. And that is just mystifying to me. And that, so I this is the thing that, again, I want to fuss about some more about Bobo. What was the offensive game plan? Why didn't we run the ball more? South Carolina is bad on offense. It wouldn't have taken that many points to win the game. And we threw the ball more than we ran the ball.
Yeah. And I never felt comfortable with Finley throwing the ball. I never felt like he really had command of the passing game. I felt like he was doing okay at times. He had some passes that were good and some that were bad. And I mean, and he just doesn't have any escapability. And he's not the answer. He's the short-term answer because you're up against the wall, but I don't think that T.J. Finley is the answer in the long term at quarterback for Auburn. I just don't I don't see it. I think Demetrius Davis has a better chance of being our starting quarterback than Finley does right now. But let me ask you this hypothetical question. You're going to hate it, and our listeners are going to hate it, but I just really, it's the kind of thing I love to ask. We're 6-5, right? I believe we're 6-5. We were 6-2, now we're 6-5.
Yeah.
And we're about to be 6-6, most likely. That's just honest. It's just straight up. I mean, maybe we pull a miracle and beat Alabama, but
we're going to be honest about that game. Go ahead.
It's 6-6. If Gus were still our head coach, would we be 6-6 at the end of this regular season?
No, we'd be better than that.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think we'd be better than 8-4.
No, no. And I'm not saying that. When I want to be clear about what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
I am not saying that I wish we had kept Gus.
Oh, exactly. Okay? No. I'm not saying that either.
We needed to make the change.
Yes,
we
100%.
Did.
Yes, 100%.
But I'm sorry. In that, again, and here's the other part, because again, in this scenario, we get to keep Kevin Steele, okay?
Yeah.
And last week, the Mississippi State game would not have happened with Kevin Steele, and that stupid team would not have been able to move the ball nearly as much on us with Kevin Steele, and we would have scored more points with Gus just lining up and handing it to Tank in that game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we'd have at least one more win.
I think we would have lost to LSU. So. I think we'd have lost to LSU, but we would have won the South Carolina game, and we would have won. We might have won Penn State, honestly, and yeah, Mississippi State for sure. Yeah.
So I think that's a fair way to look at it. And again, we needed to make the change. We needed to go at a different trajectory and all that. But we're just being honest about what we're seeing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Changing over the whole thing is it takes a while.
Well, and we've said this, you know, a few weeks ago that some of what we're seeing on offense is where Harsin and Bobo want to go, not where we can. In my opinion, it's where they want to go,
right?
And not what is the absolute best maximization of the current pieces.
Yeah, 100%, 100% agree. Yeah. Let's see what do you make of the defense? It did for the most part limit them to 21 points, and it should have limited them to 14. I don't blame the defense for all of that. But then again, the defense should have bowed up and held them to a field goal there instead of three touchdowns.
Yeah. Well, and it was their third string quarterback. And they, you know, you heard Beamer after the game said they only ran two plays in the second half.
They had
that one little running back, number 11, and he killed us.
We held them to 1-for-9 on third down. Again, you look at the numbers in this game, you don't see how we lost.
Yeah. So on the defense side, I really think we're missing Owen Pepo, right?
Yeah.
I think against Mississippi State and against South Carolina, what you saw is the running backs of their team getting the edge a lot and little swing passes and dump offs and stuff and getting around the corner and making something happen. And that's where he is so fast, especially when they throw it to the running back. He gets out there so fast that he snuffs a lot of those out. And the other linebackers can't do that as well as he can.
Right.
So I think some of it is a personnel thing where we're just missing him. I think also as the game went along, they controlled the edge of the line of scrimmage. And Auburn's defenders on the edge early on, we were getting in the backfield a lot and all that. And then as the game went along, they controlled the edge of the line of scrimmage and we lost containment all the time. They were, you know, getting around the corner and stuff. Oh. And that was the big problem. So
that was the one that drove me nuts was that over and over their running back would slide to the left off tackle and there was nobody there.
Yeah. There were a few plays where early in the game, there was a whole bunch of Auburn defenders talking and pointing and running around like they didn't know where they were supposed to be. And that was really frustrating. If you go back and watch the game, it's there. Man, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're fine. Your lights changed. Your lights all of a sudden went out, but you're there.
My computer started to go to sleep for a second because I haven't been doing anything.
Much like our audience who doesn't want to hear much more of us whining about this game.
I'm sorry. So I apologize.
No. Just kidding.
There were a lot of times when Auburn defenders took bad angles and then missed tackles too. I mean, Smoke did it. Coughlin got really abused on where he was too far inside of one of those outside runs. It happened. And I think that was a big problem in that game. Those guys not playing the run well with the way South Carolina's running.
And how are we in game 11 not knowing where we're supposed to be lining up on defense?
I'm saying that because – that was really concerning to me.
Yeah.
When they come out, again, I get it. It's a formation maybe we didn't prepare for or whatever, but I see guys running back and forth from this side of the line to that side of the line, pointing like, okay, you got that guy or whatever. And there was way too much of that early in that game. You know, you'd think after the Mississippi State game that it would be like, hey, assignment football. Let everybody know what they're where they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to do. So
We got to talk about the special teams and about that play at the end. And I just said, I mean, number one, when the ball allegedly hit the back of our player's leg, number one, the play on the call on the field was that it did not hit him. Okay. Number two, there has to be overwhelming, indisputable visual evidence. There was not. And number three, failing those two things, the referee probably should say, look, if I choose one way, if it's totally unclear, right? Well, if it's totally unclear, then he should say the call stands.
Right on the field.
Stands, yes. Right. But even beyond that, his options are, I can call it this way and allow the players on the field to determine the outcome of the game, or I can call it the other way and I decide the outcome and I go home in 30 seconds.
That's right.
And he said, screw y'all, I'm taking it out of the hands of the players and reversing what's on the field, even though there's no evidence to show it, so the game is basically over and I go home. And that made me about as mad as you were talking about the fourth down play, because it just seemed like the referee, again, it's not that there's a rule that says let the players play on the field and decide, but I'm just saying, if it's that indeterminate and your options become let the players decide it or let me decide it, what referee says, I'm just going to decide who wins this game? How do you do that?
I get it 100%. Honestly, I was mad at Auburn's coaches for having put us in the position where that play mattered at that point.
Yes.
I couldn't be as mad at the refs as I would at them, but it was a horrific call. That was a terrible call. But I want to, you know, there was no business and there was no absolute irrevertible proof that they needed to overturn.
No.
That was stupid.
Absolutely.
So that part was wrong. But the special teams as a whole were bad again in this game. Yeah. And I'm not going to beat up the backup kicker, you know, but he missed a field goal and he kicked it out of bounds. We had a block in the back penalty again on special teams. Probably that. I'm just saying at some point in the offseason, I'm going to go back and look at every single special teams play and bring y'all the report about how terrible it was. Because, friends, it's bad. Okay? And the end of the game play, I get it. It shouldn't have hit that guy, but it was a short punt. Robertson should have run up and caught the ball.
Yeah.
Or made sure that the other player, Simpson, knew the ball was in the area and get the hell out of the way. They always have a word they yell, like, get, you know, that means get out of the way. And neither one of those things happened. So that, and also, like, what's Auburn's plan there? Okay. Are we trying to return the punt? Are we trying to block the punt? Are we trying to do neither? Are we just doing the fair catch? And if we're just 100% telling a fair catch, get the blockers the hell out of the way. What are they doing there? It doesn't matter if they're there or not, if the plane is 100% fair catch it. Do you know what I'm saying? So that part, I was just like, and if it was a return, Robertson should have run up and tried to catch the ball. So I get it. And the referee was wrong, but I'm fussing about special teams because I think they put us in a bad position there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see if we have anything else. Talk about the refs.
The only thing on the refs, the end of the first half play. Again, Tank had a swing pass for about 30 yards and got absolutely face masked. And again, this is another scoring opportunity that Auburn didn't get because Auburn should have gotten a free play with no time on the clock at about the 35-yard line after that or the 30-yard line. Mm. And we either could have tried a really long field goal or thrown it in the end zone at the end of the first half. And we did not get that play because the refs were like, oh, I don't see the face mask. Y'all run to the locker room.
Those referees just were in a hurry to get off the field the entire game. They just had other we can't blame them, John. They had other things they needed to be doing. I mean, there might have, you know, been a new episode of some show they like that they had to run home and see. I don't know. I don't want to blame them for that. You know, they had places to be. They can't just be, you know, refereeing football all the time just because they're football referees. just so many little things like that. But let's look at the team itself. this is an Auburn team that, as we go into our last game, go into the Iron Bowl, is not really what we were wanting it to be, not what we thought maybe three or four weeks ago that it would be. And there are obvious reasons for it. How do we feel? Oh, and here's one more little piece of fuel for the fire before I ask you this question. But our buddy on Auburn Twitter, Josh Dubb, pointed out, he does these statistic things every now and then. He said that he added up how many points each team had scored in the second half in the last 4 weeks out of, like, you know, 200. He had like a bunch. His graph had like over 100 teams on it. Mm-hmm. And Auburn is dead last among schools that have played all 4 weeks. The only schools that have scored less than Auburn over the last four games are the ones that only played 3 games, and that was just 3 over the last 4 weeks. In other words, teams with a bye week are the only ones that scored less than us, and even then, all but 3 teams with a bye week still scored more than us in the second half. Our number was like 12.
It's bad. It's very bad.
We were just behind.
Very, very bad.
We were just behind Southern Mississippi, I remember. I don't have the graph in front of me. It's on Twitter.
And they are terrible.
Yeah, we're behind them.
Well, thanks for that.
dead late. All right, so here's my question. What do we do about all this?
I don't think there's anything we can do. I think as fans, I guess this is what really depressed me yesterday, okay? I wanted a sliver of hope to cling to in the off season. Okay. I wanted something that we got better at that I said, that's it. Yeah. That's the identity. That's the thread I can hold on to for the next 9 months or whatever until football comes back again. Hmm. And I don't know what that is right now. I'm going to be honest. I'm a very optimistic person, overly optimistic person, especially about Auburn football. And it's tough. Okay. Because we have not gotten better. This team has gotten worse.
It has.
They are not better than they were 4 weeks ago. And some of that is injuries. Mm-hmm. I want to say that I think the injuries are worse than people realize, right? I mean, I want to say this again. Bo Nix, Kobe Hudson, Austin Troxell, Brandon Council, Owen Papo.
And Anders.
Anders Carlson. There's one or two other guys, too. But so that's not good. Okay,
no.
That's bad. That's a lot of good quality players that make a difference to this team. And so it's the margins were small before and they're non-existent with those injuries. But the execution stuff is on us. You know, the decisions that the coaches make in the game is on us. And the execution of the players is on us. The execution of the defense last week and the execution of the offense at the second half is an Auburn thing. So that part is hard. It's a tough pill to swallow, I'm going to be honest.
So, I mean, are we at the point of wanting to fire coordinators?
I'm going to say this.
Or worse?
No, we're not. But this coaching staff will not be the same next year. I would bet $100 right now that it will not be 100% the same by New Year's. Some of that is understandable. Again, Harsin was interviewing guys and assembling a staff. Some of these guys he had never met before in person, probably before he hired him and interviewed him over Zoom or whatever. So I get
it. Well, one of them didn't even make it halfway through the season. So you know that they're
right,
precedent.
100%. But I think there will be other changes in the coaching staff and we'll have to just kind of roll with it and see what happens there.
Well, speaking of changes in the coaching staff, there's talk of Harsin being courted by the Washington Huskies, as Lee Corso calls them. My first question when I heard that was, okay, so he has the same agent that Tuberville and Gus had. But my second question was, didn't Washington State just fire their like whole coaching staff over the whole vaccination issue? And now we're going to have a guy who's like a national news story just for not talking about his vaccination status to go up to that same state? That seems a little far-fetched to me.
Well, again, if you believe Auburn still has a vaccine mandate, if you believe that Harsin is going to, not get his shot, then we're going to be looking for a coach. I don't believe that. I don't think he's the Rolovich guy at Washington State. I think he's may have probably already got it at some point. But he didn't want to talk about it, and that's what it is. So I don't think he's going to throw away this contract over that. I'm going to be surprised if that happens. The Washington thing, I think, honestly, is originating from that end where they are assembling kind of wish list of coaches who have ties to the Northwest that they would like to hire.
Hmm.
And I don't think, I'm going to be honest, I don't think Harsin is going to leave Auburn to go to Washington, right? I mean, I put that at like 1%, right? But I'm not saying it's zero either.
If I were him, I might think about it. It might be a...
Well, this is what the question I would ask, right? If I could put Brian Harsin in a chair and give him truth serum, I would ask him, does he wish that he waited another year at Boise State?
Yeah.
Because then he could get the Washington job or the Washington State job or some other jobs, maybe even the Southern Cal job, right? By staying there and by coming here, he's thrown in this meat grinder of the SEC and realized how much of a meat grinder it is. And, you know, maybe he wishes he was back out there or whatever. So I don't know whether that's true or not. I'm just speaking that out loud because I thought about it.
Well, let's look at Alabama. I've heard of them. They have a football program, apparently. We have to play them in a few days. And I don't have a whole lot to say about it because we know what they are. They always just plug in a new five-star quarterback who runs around, throws the ball all over the field. They just roll out another squadron full of great receivers. They usually have a couple of really good SEC running backs. And then they just and play pretty good defense. And, I mean, they're the same thing every year and have been forever. And I don't know how our defensive approach is going to work against that. And I don't know how, because, I mean, you know, when watching them play Arkansas, it seemed like every time Alabama had any problem on offense, they just threw the ball to that Mechie guy. They always have that receiver that can just make himself look like a man among boys, you know? He always looks like the 18-year-old out with the 11-year-olds on the basketball court or something. They always have a receiver like that, at least one, sometimes more than one. And he looks, I mean, they probably have another one even better than him, but that's the guy that they just seemed to go to against Arkansas while I was watching was that Mechie guy.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how we're supposed to stand up to that.
He's their number one guy, right? He's the guy that's been kind of waiting in the wings while these other great receivers came through there. And he's the A-list guy. The other guy they have is this guy, Jameson Williams, who was a backup and transferred from Ohio State to Alabama. He's a big, tall, fast receiver.
Okay.
And Mechie is really the guy that's kind of the, you know, the cross the middle, make all the plays guy. So he, and Mechie's a little better, I think, with the ball in his hands. And Williams is a better kind of deep threat. Just outrun everybody kind of guy. But you're right. They have an excellent young quarterback in Bryce Young. He's gotten better as the season went along. And he's not a big runner, but he can move around a little bit. And, you know, they replaced the excellent running back with the Brian Robinson, the solid running back that was there last year. The offensive line's taken a little bit of a step back. They've had some problems. They're not as good as they were. Defensively, you know, they're Alabama. They've got a lot of good players. Will Anderson is the defensive end for them, number 13, who's excellent. He's the best pass rusher, edge rusher in the SEC. They lead the SEC like in sacks and tackles for losses, I think. But at the same time, their pass defense is not good. You know, this will shock people on this podcast, but in the month of November, they and Auburn's pass defense stats are pretty close. And people are going to be like, that's crazy, but they've given up a ton of passing yards. And Arkansas's quarterback, which, again, we saw up close, is solid.
Yeah.
Really carved them up last week. So I think that's something to keep an eye on, that we may be able to do some things through the air. They are offensively an explosive passing team. And so how do we, you know, can we keep their guys in front of them? Can we keep them from going over the top and just let them get five-yard plays and tackle them? Yeah. But – I'm not sure how we're going to keep them from scoring, you know, 30 points or whatever, probably. So then the pressure is on us to be able to score more than that. And we have not seen that from this offense for a while. So I think what that means is we got to create some turnovers. The only good news I could say there is that, you know, they lost at Texas A&M and Bryce Young was not good in that game. Like they got some pressure on him. He got, you know, he turned the ball over a couple times. And so I think that's the kind of thing where Auburn can look at and go, we can, you know, get him in our stadium. We can rattle him a little bit with a loud crowd and get some pass rush on him and you know, tackle their receivers well, and then try and force a couple of turnovers. I think that's the biggest thing. The other thing that, you know, was really true is they've had some real problems kind of on the kind of their coverage by their linebackers and safeties. Covering running backs, covering tight ends has been a problem for them. So I think that's two areas where we need to throw the ball a lot on Saturday. Is we need to get the tight ends involved, and we need to get the running backs involved again in the passing game and throw the ball to them a lot. And I think that can make some plays, because that is a real weakness for Alabama in this current defense.
Yeah, I wish we had
Finley. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I wish we had Bo back for that. That's just the one thing that I felt like he could have made a difference in this game.
Absolutely, because, you know, when the pass rush comes and the pressure gets there and the protection breaks down, you know, Finley's going to have to get rid of the ball quickly, because he cannot run away from it.
No, and I just don't think he can. We'll see. I don't have a lot of high hope there, but we'll have to see. I had another thought, but it'll come to me again. So, I guess I'm trying to say, is there a path to victory beyond what we've already talked about? Is there, or is it, should we just go ahead and get ready that we're going to take that spanking? Because I don't see much.
It's not 2012 or 2016 or whatever.
I feel like Boromir, you know, where he's like, if there's a path ahead, I can't see it anymore, you know. I'm ready to go swipe a ring off of a hobbit at this point. I don't think that there's any. We need to go by the White City. We don't need to go to freaking Mordor.
Yeah, I get it. You know, I think you know, maybe the offensive staff's been saving all the good stuff.
Yeah,
because they haven't been using it in the second half many recent games. So maybe they have, and they'll throw out a bunch of stuff. That we haven't seen that is useful for four quarters in this game, that would be something. So I think it's that. I think, you know, feed Tank some and let him try to make plays again and again, and in a way try to keep the ball away from them. But I really think their weakness is kind of more that passing that I talked about. So I think it's Finley is going to have to come out and be hot.
He's going to have to
make plays and hit guys and move the ball. So
I can see this coaching staff saying, wait, I heard that this team beat Alabama 2 years ago in Auburn, so let's get that film out and see if we can copy that. And they look at the 2019 film, they're like, oh no, we can't do any of that anymore. Forget that. That's not none of that is possible, right? We don't play defense that way. We don't run the ball that way. We don't have Bo Nix to do his crazy things that way. I mean, it's just like, this feels more like to me like the 2016 Iron Bowl, where Jeremy Johnson had already been basically demoted, and then he comes back out and has to replace an injured Sean White, and you just never thought that that game was going anywhere in our favor. You know, we didn't have our running back, we didn't have our quarterback, and it just was not a good scene. So, well, any other thoughts about the Iron Bowl? I'm gonna watch it, I guess.
Yeah, no, I'm there. I'm going to cheer as loud and hard as I can. But it is like you said, I mean, it's tough. If we had played a little bit better in any of these recent games, I might have more optimism. But it's tough to walk out of those last couple of weeks and think that we're going to stop them and score a bunch of points. That's a real problem. I think, that, you know, and we need the crowd to stay in the game and not get down. To stay in and lift the team up some, because they're going to need it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that we know they're going to score, and I just don't know that we can score enough. I think that for a half, again, we can make it a competitive game, but I just don't see how we keep Mechie and their other offensive players out of our end zone the whole game. And I feel like for us to win, this needs to be like a 17-13 game, and it's just not going to be that. It's just not. So I remember the other thing really quickly, and that is, everything else aside, I am kind of happy that it didn't work out for Texas A&M this year, because we did meet some pretty nice A&M fans, I have to admit. I already had a friend that I'd known for years that we had on our show, Trace, that was really cool. And I don't mean any of this against him. He's a great guy. But a lot of the A&M fans I encountered after the game and on like comments on our YouTube videos and social media and stuff, they I mean, you know, we talk about Georgia fans acting like they've got a whole trophy, whole case full of trophies when they haven't won anything in 30 years or whatever, or 40 years. The dang A&M fans have never won anything ever, anywhere, ever. We were kind of snickering at how in their stadium it says conference championships and everything is like before they joined the SEC, but you know, they've never even been to Atlanta, and yet their fans were like lecturing us on social media and stuff like, well, we're Texas A&M. Of course we're great. We're not. Because remember, this is the one that bugged me. I said, in what I was trying to be charitable and nice, right? I said, you're kind of the Auburn is like the A&M of Alabama. You're kind of the Auburn of Texas. And I said it in the context of you've got a big state school that looks down on you as a bunch of snobs, but you're the agricultural mechanical engineering school. So we're kind of like that, right? And with a big ROTC. There's a lot that Auburn and Texas A&M have in common. That's what I was referring to. And these freaking A&M snobs are like, oh, you need to get real. What world are you living in? We're so much bigger than you and better than you, and we're not you. We're not Auburn. We're not the Auburn. And I'm like, yeah, you're not, because you haven't won anything in 20 years. You know, you haven't got any trophies. But I just, what a bunch of snotheads they were. So I was very happy that they don't get to go to Atlanta.
Amen to that. I have to express my frustration again, because if Auburn was playing better, this Alabama team can be had.
Yeah.
Okay. This is not on the same planet of the last several Alabama teams.
Right.
They don't execute nearly as well. They don't have the same experience and talent. They aren't nearly that good. This, again, a few weeks ago, this team, in the middle of the season, this team lost at A&M. A couple weeks ago, they scored 20 and had 6 rushing yards at home against that same LSU team that we saw. Okay.
That we beat.
And then last week, they were in a game with Arkansas that went down to the last play, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And we beat Arkansas by double digits. So, again, this particular Alabama team is not the same. They can be had. Mm-hmm. Teams can do stuff against them. They make mistakes, and teams can execute on them and do stuff. But I just – and that's one of the things that makes me mad about where Auburn is, because I feel like if we were playing well, I would feel really good about facing this team.
Yes. Oh, if we were where we were at the beginning of the Ole Miss game, we would win this game Saturday. We would absolutely beat them.
Truth.
Yes, we would. But that's not where we are now, unfortunately. So, it's disappointing because, yeah, you're right. They can be had, but George is going to kill them. George is going to beat them by 20. I'll go ahead and tell you right now. George is going to beat them by 20.
Yes.
And I'm not going to cry. I mean, I know that our newer, younger Auburn fans hate Georgia and are going to probably be rooting for Alabama to beat Georgia. And I understand that to a degree. I really do get it.
Look, it's not going to keep Georgia out of the playoff if they lose. I'd rather beat Alabama and potentially keep Alabama out of the playoff.
Exactly. I want Alabama's brains bashed in every day of the week and twice on Saturday. And I'm going to be rooting for Georgia all the way in that game. But that's just me. I grew up in, 30 miles south of Birmingham. All right, well, John, we got to quickly thank the patrons, and I want to do a quick update of a couple of things. We have a Guess the Game coming up in just a second, everybody's favorite segment from Jared that we'll get to in just a minute. I want to point out a couple of things. One is, again, we don't do ads. We depend entirely on our listeners, and we've actually gained a couple of patrons the last couple of weeks. I was afraid we were going to start hemorrhaging patrons because of the team not doing great, but you, our Auburn AU Wishbone patron family, you are true Auburn people. You are true Auburn fans. And you know that when the times get tough, that's when you're needed the most. And I'm so proud that we've actually gained patrons rather than lost them just because things have taken a little dip and a downturn. I think that people appreciate what we bring on this show and they find it useful. And that applies when things are not going great as well as when they're going great. Nobody, any more wants to talk about wins than you and I do. We want to talk about wins. We want to talk about championships. I'd love to produce another 2013 Iron Bowl type show. That was awesome. But we also have to be here to talk when things aren't going great. And that's what we do. One of the things that patrons get to participate in is our Fantasy Formula One League, and there are just 2 races left to go in the season. And I got to tell you, John, my teams right now are 1st and 5th, and Mira is 4th with her great Del Taco Racing team. But here's why it's relevant. Daniel O, our patron Daniel O, has really been charging up the field lately and has pulled within 300 points of first place. He's in second and third right now. Great job by him. I credit him for putting together a really good lineup and challenging me. And I actually had to go in and reshuffle my lineup this week to make sure I had the best shot of staying ahead. I used my like wild card or whatever with three races to go. I used it to shuffle a few drivers in and out, and it worked. I'm a little bit further ahead of him now, but with two races to go, it is imminently still possible, just as much as in the real racing between Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen. All right, let me thank our patrons right quick. You guys make all this possible. If you want to join their ranks, go to www.auwishbone.com. These are the folks that helped us do all of our great live video and audio from Texas A&M. And probably caused me to get COVID, but that's okay. I'm I'm getting better now. So I don't blame the patrons for me getting COVID. That's my own fault. But we have to thank you. And again, if you want to join their ranks, go to www.auwishbone.com. They include Samuel Salvatore, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drunker, Christopher Burleson. Oh, Dr. Crackham has joined the ranks, as well as Jeremiah Schumann and Patrick Hayes.
Again, Doc Crackham said he would join if we did away with the NC State thing.
Oh, whoa.
Please clap.
There we go. In fact, Dr. Crackham, for you, I'll give you the precious, beloved...
Smoke weed every day.
All right. There you go. You earned it. We appreciate it. So we thank you folks up there at the top of the banner. And then we've got Allison Rich, who is a Babylon 5 fan, and we promise that show's coming soon. Andy's been on hold. I've had Andy on hold just sitting there for like the last 3 weeks, tapping his fingers, waiting. Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, Chris Usher, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU fan at KSC, Logan Chilton, Matthew Flowers, Mike, I had fun today until I didn't. Kirstner, Mike always has something interesting. Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, and Kanjian. And by the way, I want to thank Willie Carden. He has checked in on me like every day for the last week, checked on how I'm feeling and everything. And that's just kind, right? That's just a good guy. And Willie is a good guy. AU Falling Up, Auburn Tiger Talk, Ben Bloodworth, Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Hegler, Emmanuel Seaman, Eric Morgan, Bobby, George Gaston, Jacob and Robin Fleming, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Ole Miss's Miracle Medical Staff, On to Basketball Season, Amen, Rusty, Algorithm, Paul Miles, Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Hammett, His Arms Wide, okay, Rich Reimer, and Steve Harlan. And then we go to Tank Hunter. This is the year TJ Finley has improved so much in this new offense. He's focused. He's having fun. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I hope you're right. I hope you're right, Ben. Valiant Hermes, WDE Richie, Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Body, Auburn Blue. Let's see. We have Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Brandon the Smith, Brian the Albanese, Cato the Barner, and Chris the Hilton, as well as Coach O is going to end up living in a van down by the river, Colby Butler, Darius, along with Coach Mullen, Darius Benton, David Simpson, Diabama. Oh, I hope it was. I hope it's this weekend. Earl Ricks, Eric Mahan, Heather, and Yancey Steingraver. Helping Van upgrade his insulation and I guess get over COVID. Hugh Anderson, Jefferson Pilot strikes again. John needs to listen to hellbentatl.com. They're really maximizing their efforts there. Josh Teal, Kevin Kinoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling. Rutgers is as fake as the... Rutgers is as fake as the ban on artificial noisemakers. Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, SEC targeting rulings will lead to flag football. I love all the editorial commentary in here. John's cracking up. He has the volume turned off. Shane Bailey, Shannon Butts, and Snowdog. This is the year Bo Nix has improved so much on this new offense. He's focused on having fun. I wouldn't be surprised if. Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Wiggle 87. I'm holding it together by the hardest right now by bubblegum and shoestring, trying to keep my voice together here. Fourth and one play call would have worked if it was a fade. Oh, God. No. Alex Nguyen, Auburn Elvis, Ben Amos, Ben Hanshew, Ben Riggis, Sebron, Charles Mooney, Chris Cuomo, Colonel Dad, Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Elizabeth Donald, Fred Finch Fries, Fresh Flies, Fred Finch Fries, Fresh Flies, Fred Finch Fries, Fresh Flies, Bob Salmons, you son of a gun. Ice Cream Clone, It's Still Great to Be an Auburn Tiger, I'll Buy This for a Dollar, James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Ulrich, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, John Soundboard, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, JT for the Love of Auburn, We Must Prioritize the Recruitment of Pass Rushers and Big-Butted Offensive Lineman JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Raines, Michael Halbrook, we're almost to the end, Michael O'Connor, MVP, Captivating Kathy Bright, Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky Big Bootay, John and Van and Monkey Boys, Stephen Thompson, Trevor Johnson, Brant Rumble, Chris, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. www.auwishbone.com. Man, I don't have any voice left now. Hold on. I think I got to drink something.
Thank you, Van, and thank you, listeners. Thank you, patrons, for sticking with us and for making Van read that stuff, because it entertains me, and I needed it after that game.
It's hard enough for me to read that when I don't have COVID, John. That was a challenge, I got to admit. All right, let's take a break here and let Jared do us guess the game, and we'll be out of here very shortly. This thing cranked up. Oh, there it is.
Greetings to Van, John, and the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game number 34. Guess the Game 34 is brought to you by listener Dr. Crackham. And this one is particularly short, but I have a ton of faith in you guys that you're going to nail this one down pretty hard. Still, it's a fun one to listen to. Let's get to it.
There she goes. Tussle tip. Oh, my gosh. Touchdown on the Hail Mary.
All right, fellas, I will see you in the probably unnecessary hint file.
I think I know what it is. You know what it is?
I believe that was Ricardo Lewis, wasn't it? What do you think it is?
I think that was the last play before halftime against South Carolina in the 2010 SEC Championship game.
Oh.
Cam just chucked it into the end zone, and I think...
it's a scrum.
Yeah. And
because that was the CBS announcer.
That was Vern.
Yep.
And the receiver was our great receiver that year, whose name is not Terrell Zachary, but the other
Blake.
No, and not T.
Darvin Zachary. Adams.
Darvin Adams. Yeah, it was Darvin. I think it was Darvin.
Yeah,
I think it was. All right, are you happy with that?
Yeah, let's go with it.
All right, let's see if I can play the hint real quick,
gentlemen. We are in the hint file. Let's get rid of the bleeps and give it a listen.
There she goes. Tussle tip. Oh, my gosh. Darvin Adams. Touchdown on the Hail Mary.
He never said Cam.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All the confidence in the world in you. I'll see you in the answer file.
He never said. That's interesting that Vern never said Cam. Let's go ahead and do the answer, but we know that.
In the mostly academic answer file for this episode, I am proud to tell you that this is Auburn playing South Carolina in the 2010 SEC Championship game, where Cam Newton threw a Hail Mary with a few seconds left on the clock in the first half. I want to give another shout out to Dr. Crackham for sending that in. Got a couple more suggestions on the list right now, but if you'd like to send a suggestion in to Guess the Game, you can send it to @YardSaleArtist, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all @YardSaleArtist. And if you could provide a link to where I can snag the audio from YouTube or some other source, that would be great. All right, Van, John, till next time, War Eagle.
I was just thinking that our SEC, our last three, not our last three, because 2017, but the 2004, 2010, and 2013 SEC Championship games are three of the best games that Auburn has played. Against quality competition in a big stage, in a big environment, they were three of the best games we've ever played.
It's true. I like it. So, thank you again, Jared and Doc Crackham. That was a fun one again to remember.
Absolutely. All right. So now I guess we need to just roll right on into... I lost track of things. Oh, here it is.
Thank you. Order. Questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
All right. What do we got this week?
All right. We can give Van a little bit of a break. I'll read some questions and then... I can answer some of them too. We'll see. So first question is from Earl Ricks, and the subject matter of his email to aewishbone@gmail.com is Curse of the Tostito. He says, did Auburn sell its soul to the college football devil to win the 2010 national championships? It's okay if we did. I'd just like to know one way or the other so I can appropriately set my expectations going forward.
Yeah. I don't know if we did.
He says, by the way, TJ Finley is tall. Thanks, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
I don't know if we did or didn't, but I agree with him that it's worth it. You know, we've always said, do what you got to do to win, and then if you have to give it back later, at least you still got that feeling. Because that was one of my favorite parts of our book, is where I said that under Barfield, we got on probation for going like 4-7. I'm like, you know, if you win a bunch of stuff and they take it away later, at least you had the feeling of winning. We got on probation for going 4-7, the feeling of going 4-7, John. That's just not good, man.
It's not good. Again, yeah. It was, okay. The next one is from Doc Crackham, and this is apparently the Doc Crackham episode now. Yeah. So he said, listener question, I know it's Sunday, and this might be emotional, but are y'all disappointed how this team has played the second half of the season? I sure am. I'm getting defensive feels of 2015 and 2012.
Yeah.
He says, if you were bequeathed with executive powers over the Auburn football department this offseason, what changes would you make?
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about that a little bit, but I'm wanting more wholesale changes maybe than you are even. I think back to when Tuberville would just throw people overboard immediately, you know.
I was very on board with Derek Mason, but now I'm not a happy camper, and I miss Kevin Steele every day.
Yeah, so I understand that. And I didn't think I'd say that. I didn't think I'd be feeling that way.
I didn't think I would say that either, I'm being honest, but I'm not happy. And the second half thing is on Bobo, and I'm not happy about how that's going either right now. So
yeah. I agree.
All right. This is a really good listener question. This is from Donnie Reynolds, who says, guys, how many turnovers has our defense created this season, and how does that compare to the rest of the SEC? It seems like we've forced very few turnovers other than the pick in the Ole Miss game. Am I wrong? Donnie, you are not wrong. I went back and looked at the stats, and it's staggering how bad we have been. We talked earlier about the defense helping the offense.
Mm-hmm.
We have created 9 turnovers this season. And what's our record?
6-5.
Yeah, in 11 games, we've created 9 turnovers. Just for reference, I'm going to go back a few years, okay? 2020, 13. Not good, but there was only 11 games, okay? Mm-hmm. 2019, we created 23. 2018, mm-hmm. we created 22. 2017, 19. 2016, 17, it's the same. Go back. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, here's 2012. We created 13, okay? 2011, we created 23. So what I'm saying is you are exactly right, Donnie. This team has done a terrible job at creating turnovers, and it's actively hurt the offense because we have not put them in good field position enough. This is something the defense has failed to do, and Donnie really identified this and laid that there. We're terrible at it.
And I bet of those 9, probably 6 of them were in those cupcake games at the beginning of the year. Because I don't remember many of them being lately. We did have the interception against South Carolina.
But no, you're exactly right, man. We have 5 in our conference games. We played 7 conference games, and we created 5 turnovers.
One of those was Kaufman against South Carolina, and then there were 4 others, mm-hmm. apparently. All right, well, there you go.
A great question. And I think definitely part of the problem, right?
Yeah.
Part of the problem.
Oh, yeah.
This question's from Valiant Hermes. He says, hey guys, there's a lot of chatter about Harsin being vetted for the Washington job. Should we be worried? I know there are some already screaming to put him on the chopping block, but that would be disastrous with the other big schools open. Who would Auburn even get if he left? Have a good one in War Eagle.
It is true. This is a bad time to be trying to hire a coach when LSU and Florida both are open. That kind of sucks. But as somebody pointed out, all Harsin really needs is a couple of shots in the arm to get going.
This, you know, the shot was there, and Van took it.
All right, what else we got? I'm trying not to cough in the microphone. It just, this is the, I mute the ones I know are coming. It's when it just kind of comes out of nowhere that I cough. I apologize for that, everybody.
It's okay. All right, it's from Josh Corbett, whose email subject is, "What the hell is going on with Auburn?" He says, "Van and John, I am disgusted with the performance of South Carolina.
What the hell is the world coming to?"
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for that. He says, "This defense is not as good as we think. If a coach admits they lineup and ran two plays the entire second half, we had major issues. This team feels like they want to succeed, but they don't know how to. I feel Bobo is to blame for this loss. Tank had the hot hand, and we gave him the ball twice in the second quarter. I'll repeat, he had two carries the second quarter. That's a disgrace. My question pertains to Mike Bobo. Do y'all think Harsin will make a change at the end of the season if we have a terrible offensive performance versus Alabama? War Eagle anyways," and he says, "P.S., we're a basketball school."
Yeah. We have the, at least we have the basketball to turn to for now, and I'm grateful for that. Here's actual audio footage. South Carolina, we are going to run two plays at you in the second half. Auburn.
What are you? Some kind of doomsday machine, boy.
That was our reaction to their two plays.
Amen. Next question is from Rusty Owens, who says, "I know that y'all will probably go over this in great detail, but I'm wondering what you guys see as the future of the program. I can't recall the last time we lost three games in a row, and unfortunately, barring a miracle, we lose four games in a row. He says, I can excuse the Georgia, Penn State, and Texas A&M, but Mississippi State and South Carolina games were winnable, and it seemed like those losses could be laid directly at the feet of the coaching staff. What does it say about a coach that he's all about accountability, yet it appears no changes have been made to the game plan on either side of the ball? Is this something that will be fixed with Harsin's recruits, or will it take more drastic measures?"
All right, here's how I saw the numbers, because my goal this year was to not go 8-5. And hey, guess what? I don't think we are. But my thing was, even after we lost to Texas A&M, which was the one that made me mad, we were at that point we were 6-3. But I'm like, look, we beat Mississippi State 7-3. We beat South Carolina 8-3. Even if you lose to Alabama, you're 8-4. But you go and win a bowl game at 8-4, and you're 9-4 means you've beaten the Gus Malzahn average by a game, and that's in your first year. That's awesome. So losing these two games and knowing that right now the best we could possibly be is 8-5. If we upset Alabama and then win a bowl game, is the best we can get to 8-5. Right now, Brian Harsin's going to end this season with a worst record with at, I mean, right now we're looking at either having a worse record than Gus ever had in his 8 years, or matching, if we're lucky, matching his worst record, which was 7-6. That makes me mad, because that shouldn't be the ceiling this year.
Yeah. And again, I think there's going to be some coaching staff changes.
Yeah.
And there'll be some, you know, some recruits, hopefully some good transfer portal players come in, but I'm very concerned.
Yes.
He asked about the future. I'm concerned because, again, I think there are a lot of good players, especially on defense, are going to be gone.
Yeah.
So the defense is playing like this year with these good players. What happens when we don't have the good players?
Oh, man.
So I'm very, very, very concerned. I'm just saying that.
I feel like we're heading toward the late 70s.
It's not that bad, but we got to get better here. All right.
We can still get in the Astro Blue Bonnet Bowl and play Houston or somebody, you know, like in the good old days.
All right. It's a more positive question here. This is from Bill Miner, who says, "Guys, as easy as it is to be down on the team, with the spirit of Thanksgiving, what are you thankful for with the current coaching staff?" He says, "I'll say, play calling aside, Harsin and Bobo made Bo a drastically better quarterback, and I'm excited to hopefully see him back healthy next year. Have a happy Thanksgiving, Bill."
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that Bo Nix benefited from Bobo. I mean, that's just been kind of obvious. I did notice, by the way, that Chip Lindsey got fired from Troy.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, I mean, again, I think, you know, signing Hunter, developing him, and I think Tank's gotten better in this year than he was last year. I think he's honestly gotten better over the course of the season. I think we're going to give Carnell credit for that. I think that's a position where I think Auburn has coached well.
I feel like I feel like Hunter's kind of fallen off the earth the last four or five games, though.
Again, he's a little bit unsustainable, the level of success he had earlier in the season, but it's fair.
Clearly, we would be a dominant program if we played in the same conference with Akron and those guys, man. Maybe that's what we should do. Change conferences. We could dominate Terry Bowden's butt, man, every week.
All right. Next question is from Logan Chilton, who says, does Auburn have a strength and conditioning issue, or is it an issue as the opponent adjusts as the game goes on? I know we obviously have a talent gap in the trenches from the elite teams in the SEC, but it just feels like we can't sustain momentum or regain it through a whole game. Get it. He's asking about conditioning because we're bad in the second half. But
right. And you're looking for – well, we're looking for answers. We're looking for why is it that we kind of fall apart in the second half. And that's as good of a reason maybe as any, but I don't know. Or how much of it is strategy and tactics. I don't know. I got to say, by the way, that Logan Chilton is a great name. Sounds like a high school that Sylacauga would have played back when I was there. Yo, Friday night, man, Sylacauga going to go on the road to play Logan Chilton. They're going to kick our butts. They're 6A, man. They beat Benjamin Russell last week. Look out. That totally sounds like it. I love it.
They got a great band.
Oh, man, that Logan Chilton band. They kick your butt. They sound great.
All right. We're almost done here. Next question is from Willie Carden.
Yeah.
Who says, hey, Van and John, Lister comment. He says, so Auburn beats LSU. LSU beats Mississippi State. Auburn loses to Mississippi State. Auburn beats Ole Miss, who beats Texas A&M. Auburn loses to Texas A&M. Auburn loses to South Carolina, who loses to Texas A&M, who loses to Ole Miss, who Auburn beat. He says, my point, I don't have one. It all just sucks. Also, Alabama is beatable this year. And, of course, Auburn is Auburning to the max. War Eagle, go to hell, Alabama. I love you guys.
Amen. Really, there you go. We love you, Willie, man. That's great.
All right.
Good guy.
Last one from you can make it, from Bradley Blackman. And the title of his email is The Roller Coaster.
Yeah.
He says, I'm disappointed in the last 3 week results, but I'm realistic that this new staff and we've lost a bunch of injuries to key players. Based on the roller coaster that is Auburn football, should I expect us to pull the voodoo magic out of our behind Saturday, or did that leave with Gus? Thanks for the content, Bradley Blackman.
Please clap.
I mean,
I don't have facts to back this up,
but who does? I mean, I love it. I would love to be so wrong, but you know, there's only so much fantasy I can take in my life. So much science fiction I can stand before I have to look at reality. So, well, I guess you want to take a trip. This one has a slow start to it. You never notice that little clip takes a while to get going. I need to trim it off a little bit.
Let's take a trip around the SEC.
Someone knows. God knows.
End of that. Well, I'm going to hit these real fast. Alabama beat Arkansas 42-35. That was a game that I kept tuning out because Alabama kept like every time Arkansas would do some miraculous drive, Alabama would hit Mechie for 80 yards, and it was like right back to a 17 or a 14-point lead. But I guess Arkansas was able to come back and make it close at the end. So
they just kept every time. Alabama jump ahead, they come back. Alabama jump ahead, they come back. They did not go away, and they gave Alabama all they wanted.
Missouri beat Florida in overtime. I didn't even realize Florida lost again. No wonder they went ahead and fired Mullen. Florida's got a worse record than we do. Now they're like 4-8 or something.
Yes. Yeah. Again, they're like 2-9 in their last 11 games against Power 5 teams.
Right. That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
It's 2012 level down there.
Oh, good grief. Ole Miss beat Vandy, of course. Georgia rolled over Georgia, Charleston Southern, A&M. You know, it was not a really great actually football Saturday.
No.
A bunch of cupcakes. Mississippi State won, Kentucky won, Tennessee won. They all played cupcakes. LSU, yeah. Oh, Terry hung in there, 27-14. LSU against Louisiana. Hold on.
This is the Louisiana Monroe Warhawks Report.
Hey, Terry hung in there, man. 27-14.
This has been the Louisiana Monroe Warhawks Report.
I have it. I had it ready. Yes. Salute. Amen. There you go.
I needed that.
I'm glad. I'm glad.
I hope the listeners enjoyed that as much as I did.
Well, I had it ready. I saw one of my writer buddies, one of our, you know, there's a whole crowd of folks that just love the fiction and the science fiction and the fantasy and the comics and stuff, and absolutely are utterly disdainful of any sport, right? And they said, what are you going to be watching on Thanksgiving? And, you know, they're all putting in Monster Movie and Lord of the Rings and whatever. And I said, Egg Bowl, man. Come on. What are you talking about? It's Egg Bowl night. I'll be all over that game. Give me a break. So we got the Egg Bowl Thursday. And I've said before, I say this every year, and I am always right. Who always wins this game, John?
The underdog.
The underdog always, always wins this game. If like Ole Miss wins this game, they might go to the Sugar Bowl, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
They will not go to the Sugar Bowl.
Except, well, again, it depends on how you define it, right? They're the higher ranked team.
Yeah.
So, but more to play for. Vegas, Mississippi State is favored by 1 point.
Boom. There you go. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Mississippi State, 38. Ole Miss, 34. And it'll be in the second half. Mississippi State will come from 10 points down in the second half. I've seen it in my brain cavity. Let's see. Friday, Missouri at Arkansas. You got to think Arkansas is going to be able to close this out or they're not legit. Saturday, Georgia Tech. Good old, clean, old-fashioned hate. Georgia should roll. Florida State at Florida. You got any thought? I mean, is Florida State going to win this one and just make Florida utterly humiliated? Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Vandy at Tennessee, and Texas A&M at LSU. Got to think A&M can do this, right? If they're ever going to do it.
Last stand for Coach O. I think they'll hang around. I think they'll make it a game.
You know how much I would love LSU to win this game? Oh, I would love it. I would love it so much.
It would make me happy.
But we've got better players. We have more money. Oh, screw you. Kentucky at Louisville, who cares? Clemson at South Carolina. That's that game that seems like it should be big, and yet it really never is.
And again, Clemson is not great this year, but I think they're competent and they're going
to
win.
They beat Wake Forest. I tuned in to watch that game on your recommendation that Wake Forest was good, and I was not that impressed, to be honest, with Wake Forest. Boy,
Clemson's defense is decent, and they made Wake Forest look bad. So.
Yeah, they did. I was tuning out very quickly. It was not a good Saturday for football. Well, all right. Well, that gets us to the end, and I would normally drag you out a little bit more with wacky and witty banter, but I got to go and cough for like 45 minutes now before I go to bed, so I'm going to cut things loose now. You have any final thoughts?
I hate Alabama.
Yes. Yes.
And we hate Alabama. And we never want them to win a single game again in any sport for the rest of human civilization.
Amen.
And I think there's only one way to take us out of here.
Yeah.
Soviet national anthem.
I think that you have to think of Iran, number one. Russia, number one. Bama, number one. Time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle John.
War Eagle Van and Das Badania.
Das Badania, comrade.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.